50 years ago today, Padre Pio passed away from this life and entered into eternity with his Savior, Jesus. Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio, was probably one of the most controversial priests of his generation. He was a man who felt called to be a priest at a young age and entered seminary formation. Shortly after that, became an ordained priest, a Franciscan friar. And years into his priesthood, he experienced an extraordinary mystical phenomenon. He experienced the wounds of Christ coming into his very flesh. We call this the stigmata. So literally, his hands began to bleed where the nails pierced Jesus' hands. His feet began to bleed in his side for 50 years. This bleeding occurred and it smelled like roses. When people would come to him and they were physically ill, he would pray over them and God gave him the charism of healing and they would be miraculously healed through Jesus Christ. At times, whenever he would pray and celebrate the Mass in public, he would begin to levitate off the ground, begin to fly. People were drawn from all over the world to come and encounter this man's ministry. Whenever they came to the sacrament of reconciliation with him, if they left any sin out that they did not ask God to forgive them for, God would reveal that sin to him and he would be able to help them make a full confession. Contrite hearts. When his ministry became super demanding, God gave him the gift of bilocation. So he was able to minister to this person in this town and this person in that town at the same time, being two places at once, for nothing is impossible for God. His ministry, his life was extraordinary. It was filled with the supernatural, with the miraculous. And a lot of people came back to Jesus and came back to Jesus Christ in the sacraments because of his yes to the vocation that God called him to. But as many people came back to Jesus because of his profound ministry, he had just as many people who rejected him. See, because a lot of people misunderstood him and they didn't understand why was God doing these miraculous works through him and not everyone else. Maybe what he's doing isn't of the Lord. Maybe he's crazy. Maybe it's demonic. And people began to gossip about him and slander his name. And this didn't just happen with the people in his community, but it happened with people in his own religious community, his own brothers. Not only his own brothers in the priesthood, but the bishops began to question him and be cautious about his ministry and gossip about him all the way up to the Pope. So eventually the church decided, you know what, Padre Pio, we don't know if we can trust your ministry right now. We don't understand what God is doing in and through you. So you can't do spiritual direction with people anymore. You can't personally accompany people in their walk toward eternity anymore. He said, okay, that's fine. God's will be done. And he continued to minister at his friary and offer up the sacrifice of the Mass and hear confessions. And people continued to come from all over the world to encounter Jesus through his ministry. And so now his leader said, you know what, Padre Pio? You can't even do any more public ministry. No more public Masses. A priest is ordained to celebrate the Mass for his people. And he was stripped of even being able to celebrate Mass with his community. So now he was only allowed to celebrate Mass privately. And he did so with joy. Again, just saying, you know what? God's will be done in all of this. And he offered up prayers of thanksgiving. That's what the word Eucharist means. Thanksgiving. Every single day, he focused on praising God and thanking God. In the midst of this persecution, in the midst of people misunderstanding him, in the midst of all the things that were going on in his life and in his community, he praised God. What did he praise God for? Well, I'm sure a number of things. One of the things that he said to people who asked him, well, what are you going to do now? He said, I'm going to enter deeper into the scriptures. I'm sure he was praising God for the amount of time he now had with this complete intimacy with God and his word. Without distractions, without people taking him away from prayer, he was able to enter into a deeper intimacy with God during this season of his life. What else did he praise God for? I'm sure he praised God for Just the purification that the Lord allowed him to go through, being detached from the opinions of others, both the opinions of those who loved him and appreciated his ministry, and the opinions of those who hated him and did not like him and rejected him because of his ministry. We were not created to be attached to the opinions of each other. All of us are passing away. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. So God wants us to only be connected with him, to only be concerned with him and who he says we are, not who our community says we are, whether it's good or bad. Padre Pio was being stripped of that. Praise God for that. What else did he have to praise God for? I'm certain he interceded for all those priests, for all those bishops who persecuted him. I'm certain that he interceded for their growth in holiness and for their conversion of heart. Because you know what? Sometimes people just don't pray for priests. And they don't pray for bishops because they assume, well, they must be holy. But Padre Pio recognized their brokenness. He recognized their imperfections. He recognized their sinfulness. I'm sure he praised God that he was able to now intercede for their conversion of heart. That which Satan used to break this man down, God used to build up the body of Christ in him, the image of Jesus Christ, whom he was invited to participate in his walk toward eternity. God will not allow Satan to have the final word in our lives if we continue to turn over everything and anything that we encounter to the grace of Jesus Christ by praising him and by thanking him for the good works that he would bring about in us because we love him. This is not isolated to Padre Pio. This happened to David, the man who wrote today's responsorial psalm. We all know the story of David. As a young man, we recognize he was the good shepherd boy who protected his people from Goliath with a slingshot. We know David in his older years as he was this great, valiant warrior king who led his people in fighting battles for God. We also recognize David was a man who fell into sin with Bathsheba, but who repented. At the end of his life, God said, he is a man after my own heart. That's what God said about David. He's a man after my own heart. But there's a lot of story between when David was a young boy and when he was a king. There's a story of the time in his life, the season where he was just a simple, good warrior who was appreciated for his gift of being able to fight battles and win battles. And he was appreciated by so many people in his community, but he was really appreciated by a man named Saul, the leader of the community. Saul appreciated him so much. And David was grateful that Saul was appreciative of the work he was doing for God. Saul's family appreciated David. His son Jonathan loved David. His daughter loved David. The family, everyone loved David. And then Saul had a little change of heart because Saul recognized that people like David more than they like me. People are affirming David more than they're affirming me. People are acknowledging him more than they are acknowledging me. And he began to be filled with the vice of envy. He did not want David to receive the affirmation of people. And that envy led him to wrath. And he wanted to destroy David, and so he slandered David's name, and he gossiped about David. He attacked David. He tried to kill David. And as David was being persecuted by this man whom he loved very much, by this man, his boss, his leader, David then turned to God and began to pray. And he offered up prayers of thanksgiving in the midst of persecution. Today's responsorial psalm, David wrote this, Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your spirit. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For insolent men have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before them. He's acknowledging the persecution that he's going through. And then he goes on to say this. But behold, God is my helper. I will offer sacrifice to you, Lord. I will give you thanks to your name, O Lord, for your name is good. He begins to send up prayers of thanksgiving to God in the midst of persecution. What was he thankful to God for as he was being persecuted? I don't know. I'm sure a number of things. He was able to write this psalm down, so he was able to pray. We know that. Write a lot of intimate prayers with the Lord. What else was he able to do? I'm sure he was able to what? Be detached from being concerned with what other people thought about him, both the people who really loved him and the people who really disliked him because they misunderstood what God was doing in his life and how God was calling him to holiness. He was being stripped of that. He was able to pray for his enemies, for their conversion of heart. This is something to be thankful to God for. What the devil used to break him down, God once again said, if you come to me, the devil will not have the final word over your life. He will not have the final victory. You turn to me and I can build you up in the midst of what the devil is trying to break you down. I can build you up to be more conformed to my image so you can manifest my face to the world. What David went through and Padre Pio went through is not something that is isolated to the saints and to the holy ones. This is the common experience of all of us. All of us are going to have people in our life, our family, our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, our church members, people in our life who really like us and who really appreciate us and are going to come to us for help in their walk toward eternity. But we're also going to have people in our life, every single one of us is going to have people in our life who are not going to understand us and who are going to stab us in the back. They're going to talk behind our backs and they're going to gossip about us and they're going to murmur about our name. They're also going to persecute us in many different ways. And some of these people are going to be our superiors. Some of these people are going to be those whom we thought we could really trust, and now they're really not there for us. And we can turn and have a pity party if we want, and we can brood, but nothing good will come from that. But we can also turn to God and begin to praise Him in the midst of the storm of our life. Thank Him for what? God, I thank You. I thank You because even though this person has rejected me and this job has fallen through and this relationship has ceased to exist, God, I now have more time for You. And You are the one I was created for. God, even though now these people are detracting my name, I'm okay with that because what You're doing, Lord, is You are detaching me from being concerned with their opinion, from my ego, from caring about pleasing other people. Lord, I was created not to please them. Lord, I was created to please You. He gives us the opportunity to pray for people who persecute us. What if we're the reason why someone becomes a saint at the end of their life? What if our prayers of intercession are the reason why someone has a conversion of heart? It happens. That's what happened in the New Testament. In the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, the Christians were being persecuted. They were being killed and tortured. Our first martyr, Stephen, who's recorded in the Scriptures, was killed at the hands of another man named Saul. And as he was being killed by Saul, he did what? He lifted his eyes to God in prayer and began to pray for him. Father, forgive him. Imitating Jesus' prayer, for he doesn't even know what he's doing. Have mercy on these people, Lord. Stephen died. And after he died, what happened to Saul? Saul encountered Jesus, and Saul became Paul, who wrote the majority of the letters of the New Testament that we have today in the Bible, who is now St. Paul, who we better believe when he went into, got to heaven, the first person he went to had to be Stephen. Oh yeah, by the way, my bad, Stephen. didn't mean to kill you, but thanks for praying for me, right? Thank God. Praise God for when we go through the storm, because God can use that. Yes, the devil is attacking all of us and the devil wants to bring us down, but God can use all of it to build us up, to be conformed more to His Son, Jesus Christ, for our good and for the good of the world. So what I want to invite us to do this week is really simple. I want to invite us to just thank God. Offer prayers of gratitude for the ways in which God has already brought good out of evil in our lives, whether it's more intimate time with Him in prayer, or detachment from the opinions of others, or the capacity to pray for others, intercede for them, whatever it might be, to praise Him and thank Him for the good that He has brought from all the evil that Satan has tried to do to us, and then to thank Him in advance for the good that He's going to bring about, for the good that He's going to continue to do for us and our community and our walk toward eternity. Because God wants to use all of us to bring others to encounter Him in this life. Because when other people encounter God in this life because of us, then they and we as one community, as one body, have the capacity to remain in communion with God in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.